A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
Inspiring interviews, Singapore stories with me, Jason Dacey, here on Money FM 89.3. Time to talk international news week in review. Welcome back, Steve Okun, the senior advisor at McLarty Associates and former Clinton administration official. Welcome back, Steve.
Thanks. Good to be back.
It's always a busy time when you come back to Money FM because we've always got something to talk about.
We have way too much to talk about.
I mean, in a minute, we're going to talk US, but let's first go closer to home. And Malaysia must get its ships to leave Singapore territorial waters immediately and return to the pre-October 25th status quo, according to Minister for Trade and Industry Chan Chun Sing. And he's reiterated the Singapore government's position on the bilateral dispute, Steve. And it's looking, I mean, let's hope it all stays civil, but it is something that's concerning a lot of people within ASEAN.
Well, I mean, I think the overall framework you have to look at is what's the relationship between Singapore and Malaysia. It's very positive overall. Obviously, the relationship is longstanding. So that's not really a concern. What you always worry about in a situation like this, and you can compare this to the South China Sea where there's disputed territorial waters, is an accident getting out of hand. And one would hope that the chances for that are way less here because of the communications between the countries. So not as much a concern as that you would have in the South China Sea or disputed waters in Japan and Korea, China, but still always a concern.
All right. Well, let's now hear from Minister for Trade and Industry Chan Chun Sing, who's speaking about this issue.
The ground situation is tense. Ships are in close proximity to each other. And we know that some ships are armed. So the risk of escalation cannot be underestimated. Accidents can happen. We should all revert to the pre-October 25th status quo ante for things to calm down. And there are ways to do this under international law without prejudice to Malaysia. We have to be sensible about this.
I mean, that's 100% true, isn't it, Steve? To be sensible, you know, not make any rash decisions?
Yeah, not make any rash decisions. Put processes in place to try and prevent an accident from happening. But if one were to get out of hand, to de-escalate it as quickly as possible.
All right, let's move from Southeast Asia to the U.S. And of course, Steve used to work as an official in the Clinton administration. And U.S. President Donald Trump has announced that his chief of staff, John Kelly, will leave his job by the end of the month. This is something that's been spoken about for some time. I mean, there's been several months where we thought that he might be leaving. And now he's going, and Trump's come out and said he's a great guy and said his replacement would be named over the next day or so. So reading between the lines here, Steve, what does it say about the relationship between Donald Trump and John Kelly? Do you think they're not getting on? We've heard reports that they're not speaking to each other at the moment.
Well, the chief of staff leaving, and certainly after a tenure of 16 months, is not, you know, out of precedent in the United States. Chief of staff is almost an impossible job to do. It's got to be a really impossible job to do with Donald Trump as the president, who really is his own chief of staff. So his leaving in and of itself, not terribly surprising. The question is who's going to come in? Who's going to bring some type of structure in order? Because what the Trump White House is going to have to deal with in the next 2 years is much different, much more difficult than what they had to deal with in the previous two.
Yeah, but looking at what John Kelly's done, you'd have to say under the circumstances, his job has been pretty good. He's been pretty steady. He's brought a bit of a steadying hand to the White House, which was in turmoil before he arrived.
Well, I mean, I don't know that that anyone has been able to do that. Right. I don't know that he's really done that. There's still really no structure. The president still tweets to change the message, to change policy. So at the end of the day, you can't say John Kelly did a bad job or he did a good job. He did the job maybe the best you can for Donald Trump, who's his own chief of staff, his own policy advisor, his own everything.
Right. Okay. Let's now switch to a decision during the week. It was life in prison probably for James Field Jr., the 21-year-old who drove that car on the streets of Charlottesville 16 months ago, that white supremacist rally. He was found guilty of killing one woman and injuring nearly 40 others. And this is something that really is close to your heart, isn't it, Steve? Because you know that area very well.
Yeah, well, I spent 7 years of my life living in Charlottesville as an undergraduate and then in the law school at the University of Virginia. And Charlottesville is really a college town in many ways, centering around UVA. So it was devastating for the city. It was devastating for the university for that to have happened in Charlottesville, for Nazis and Klansmen to be marching there. The university and the town have come come together since. This is part of that process. But it's still an indelible part of the town, although the university has really, I think, taken it to heart and has tried to learn from it and move forward from it.
Yeah, I mean, Charlottesville was an interesting choice, wasn't it? Because there's a lot of deep history there with the U.S., isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, Charlottesville is the home of Thomas Jefferson, mm-hmm. you know, our third president, yep. the founder of the University yep. of Virginia, the author of the Declaration of Independence. But it was still in the Confederacy. I mean, Jefferson, wrote all yep. men are created equal, yet owned slaves. Mm-hmm. And so that contradiction, everything that comes out of the contradiction of the history of the United States is in some ways emblematic of Charlottesville. And the university where Jefferson's the father of is part of that story. And how we grapple with that as a country, how we move forward from that is something that has been a struggle. And with Donald Trump saying, infamously back then that there were fine people
on both sides
yeah. Was really damaging to his presidency, I believe.
That was a shocking statement, really. When speaking to Steve Okun, the senior advisor at McClarty Associates and former Clinton administration official in our International News Week in Review. And as I said to you off air, Steve, it seems like weeks ago now, but it was the funeral of former U.S. President George H.W. Bush. And quite bizarre scenes with Donald Trump turning up there and sitting with the other presidents and their wives. Talk us through what that meant to you. Obviously, you were a part of that Clinton campaign in 1991-92, and you know exactly about what George H.W. Bush did. So what did you think about that whole funeral and everything around it?
Well, it was melancholy in a way, because it seems in a way so long ago that the country really wasn't divided, that Democrats and Republicans may disagree on certain things, but when it came to being Americans, we put that first. Foreign policy, we always worked together on. And during the campaign, it was always, the Clinton campaign was always to President Bush, we thank you for your service. We salute you for your service. We disagree with what you're doing when it comes mainly to the economy. Mm. And so the election was really about ideas. It was about the direction of the economy. It wasn't about whether a person should be locked up.
Yes.
And now we it seems so long ago that we could come together as a country. And when you really bookend this with the McCain
yep.
funeral.
Another conservative in a few months ago, and also highly respected, a presidential candidate.
And John McCain, a Republican who asked to be eulogized by Barack Obama, the Democrat who
yeah.
beat him.
Yeah.
And so it makes it seem that nostalgic in a way and wistful that we can come back to where we were as a country. Hopefully, although I'm hopeful, but I'm pessimistic that this is going to happen in the next 2 years.
Well, John McCain had asked that Donald Trump not attend his funeral, but the Bushes invited Donald Trump to this funeral. What did you think about that?
I'm no surprise at all that a former president would ask that the sitting president, even though it completely disagrees with where they are, seems to disagree where they are politically, would still invite him. So again, some hope that we could rise above partisan politics at some point in the future, but we're not hopeful that that's going to happen in the next 2 years.
And there didn't seem to be any interaction between Hillary Clinton and the Trumps in that funeral, did they?
She wouldn't even appear to look at him.
Yes, yeah.
Again, just how polarized we are, that even when we're there as a country to honor a statesman, to honor one of our former presidents, that they can't, the two sides can't even look and talk to one another.
Well, you know Hillary, having worked with the Clinton administration. What do you think she's gone through over the last almost 2 years?
Well, I mean, I think that almost any politician, you believe in yourself. You believe that you're going to make the country a better place, either as president, senator, representative, governor, whatever you're going to run for. And this, to have won more than 3 million votes, to have seen that what's happened to the country since you've gone out has to be very devastating in a way that you will obviously come by it and go forward, but you're going to live it the whole time.
Yeah.
It's very tough.
Yeah, it would be very tough. Not just, you have to bite your tongue a lot, because she has not been that vocal. She's mentioned a few things, but she hasn't been as vocal as maybe she could have been, I guess. Let's talk about the stock market. U.S. stocks falling 4.4% overall last week. It's quite shocking, isn't it, how volatile the markets are at the moment. You're tying it to the Huawei thing as well, aren't you?
Well, it's a lot of it's tied into the trade tensions, which center on U.S.-China. And we don't know what's going to happen. We're in the middle of this 90-day period of whether or not the U.S. and China can come to some agreement. There is no trade truce right now. The U.S. still has tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods. All that the U.S. has said is that they're not going to increase tariffs in this 90-day period. Mm-hmm. And people are trying to read the tea leaves. When the U.S. requests an arrest of a very senior Chinese business official to extradite to the U.S., that's going to increase those tensions.
Yeah, the chief financial officer of Chinese telecoms giant Huawei facing fraud charges relating to an alleged breaking of U.S. sanctions on Iran. That was heard in Canada. So we're going to find out what happens to Meng Wanzhou once this all kind of unfolds. What do you think will happen?
Well, it's going to take months. I mean, if you're going to go through a proper extradition process, the U.S. is going to have to prove to Canada that she should be extradited to the United States to stand trial for these fraud charges. The Chinese are going to put a lot of pressure, presumably, on both the U.S. And Canada, either directly in a bilateral sense and maybe indirectly by having non-tariff barriers go up against businesses. So it just adds so much more uncertainty to an already uncertain environment.
Yeah, and with the economy in general, I mean, interest rates are sort of inching up and inching up. What do you think the Fed will be doing in the next couple of months?
Well, the issue is you have the economy on the one hand and the stock market on the other. Mm. And does Donald Trump seems to equate both? They're really two different things.
Yes, exactly. Of course. Right? Yeah.
And so you have to ask, they're all going to be intertwined. What is the U.S. going to do in this 90-day period? Donald Trump has put the tariffs on China because of China's unfair trade practices when it comes to IPR. Mm-hmm. China is seeming to say to the U.S., we're going to buy more goods. We're going to buy more ag progress. We're going to lower our tariffs. We're going to increase FDI for you to take down your tariffs. But the tariffs aren't there for any of those reasons. Mm. And so this all is going to come together. The Fed has to be looking at this, but I don't know how you can predict anything until we get a little bit more clarity in the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump's come out on Twitter saying, oh, everything's great with China. He's trying to like create some optimism, right?
He's also said he's tariff man.
All right, let's have a look at Paris because it's the fourth consecutive weekend of anti-government protests across France. It's turning violent once again. French Interior Ministry says 118 people have been injured in protests in several cities, including 17 law enforcement officers, more than 500 people taken into custody. Now, is this an honest protest against high fuel costs and, you know, the economical problems for French people? Or is this some sort of, you know, sinister thing that a lot of troublemakers are getting involved in?
No, I mean, I think it's emblematic of the debate on climate change globally. Everybody, says, or at least most people say, we have to do something about climate change. But then when somebody has to pay for it, they don't necessarily want to do that. The U.S. pulls out of Paris, right? You see these protests in France over high gas prices.
Which is because of the environmental side of things, yeah.
Right. They say, so why are we paying for it? Yeah. Why isn't somebody else paying for it? You get into all these externalities when it comes to how you pay for carbon. So this is something that the whole world has to pay attention to, because how are we going to address climate change if nobody is willing to pay for it? And if Macron either loses his government over this or is certainly damaged over the long term, what are other leaders going to do? Because what happens in France, isn't a French issue. This is a global issue.
Yes, indeed. Okay, for the moment, thank you very much to Steve Okun, the former Clinton administration official. We'll have more from him. We're going to talk U.S. politics and the Mueller probe up next here on Money FM 89.3.